Thank you. Blessed be the one holy and living God. Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
God be with you. Let us pray. O God, you have taught us to keep all your commandments by loving you and our neighbor. Grant us the grace of your Holy Spirit that we may be devoted to you with our whole heart and united to one another with pure affection. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen.
Please be seated for the readings.
Reading from the book of Genesis. The servant said to Laban, "I am Abraham's servant. The Lord has greatly blessed my master, and he has become wealthy. He has given him flocks and herds, silver and gold, male and female slaves, camels and donkeys. And Sarah, my master's wife, bore a son to my master when she was old, and he has given him all that he has. My master made me swear, saying, 'You shall not take a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites, in whose land I live, but you shall go to my father's house, to my kindred, and get a wife for my son.' I came today to the spring and said, 'O Lord, the God of my master Abraham, if you will only make successful the way I am going, I'm standing here by the spring of water. Let the young woman who comes out to draw, to whom I shall say, "Please give me a little water from your jar to drink," and who will say to me, "Drink, and I will draw for your camels also," let her be the woman whom the Lord has appointed for my master's son." Before I had finished speaking, in my heart there was Rebekah coming out with her water jar on her shoulder, and she went down to the spring and drew. I said to her, "Please let me drink." She quickly let down her jar from her shoulder and said, "Drink, and I will also water your camels." So I drank, and she watered the camels. Then I asked her, "Whose daughter are you?" She said, "The daughter of Bethuel, Nahor's son, whom Milcah bore to him." So I put the ring on her nose and the bracelets on her arms, Then I bowed my head and worshiped the Lord and blessed the Lord, the God of my master Abraham, who had led me by the right way to obtain the daughter of my master's kinsman for his son. Now then, if you will deal loyally and truly with my master, tell me, and if not, tell me, so that I may turn either to the right hand or to the left. And they called Rebekah and said to her, will you go with this man? She said, I will. So they went away, their sister Rebekah and her nurse, along with Abraham's servant and his men. And they blessed Rebekah and said to her, may you, our sister, become thousands of myriads. May your offspring gain possession of the gates of their foes. Then Rebekah and her maids rose up, mounted the camels, and followed the man. And thus the servant took Rebekah and went his way. Now Isaac had come from Beer-lah Harihor and was settled in the Negev. Isaac went out in the evening to walk in the field, and looking up, he saw camels coming. And Rebekah looked up, and when she saw Isaac, she slipped quickly from the camel and said to the servant, who is the man over there, walking in the field to meet us? The servant said, it is my master. So she took her veil and covered herself, and the servant told Isaac all the things that he had done. Then Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent. He took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her. So Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. Hear what the Spirit is saying to God's people.
Thanks be to God.
Please, everyone, together, join in reading from the Song of Solomon. The voice of my beloved, look, he comes, leaping upon the mountains, bounding over the hills. My beloved is like a gazelle or a young stag. Look, there he stands behind our wall, gazing in at the windows, looking through the lattice. My beloved speaks and says to me, arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. For now the winter is past, the rain is over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth, the time of singing has come, and the voice of the love is heard in our land. The fig tree puts forth its figs, and the vines are in blossom, they give forth fragrance. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away.
A reading from the letter to the Romans. Do not let sin exercise dominion in your mortal bodies to make you obey their passions. No longer present your members to sin as instruments of wickedness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and present your members to God as instruments of righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace. What then? Should we sin because we are not under law, but under grace? By no means. Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness? But thanks be to God that you, having once been slaves of sin, have become obedient from the heart to the form of teaching to which you were entrusted, and that you, having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness. I am speaking in human terms because of your natural limitations. For just as you once presented your members as slaves to impurity and to greater and greater iniquity, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness for sanctification. When you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. So what advantage did you then get from the things of which you are now ashamed? The end of those things is death. But now that you have been freed from sin and enslaved to God, the advantage you get is sanctification. The end is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Hear what the Spirit is saying to God's people.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus said to the crowd, "But to what will I compare this generation? It is like children sitting in the marketplaces and calling to one another, 'We played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We wailed, and you did not mourn.' For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, 'He has a demon.' The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, 'Look, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners.' Yet wisdom is vindicated by her deeds." At that time, Jesus said, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and intelligent and have revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Hear the Gospel according to Bruce Springsteen. "Can't see nothing in front of me, can't see nothing coming up behind. Make my way through this darkness, I can't feel nothing but this chain that binds me. Lost track of how far I've gone, how far I've gone, how high I've climbed. On my back's a 60-pound stone, on my shoulder a half-mile line. Come on up for the rising. Come on up, lay your hands in mine. Come on up for the rising. Come on up for the rising tonight." In the name of the living God, amen. Be seated. So it was just a few days after the September 11th attacks. The planes were still grounded and our nation was still trembling, and Bruce Springsteen was driving near the Jersey Shore when a stranger recognized him at a stoplight. The man rolled down his window and simply said, "Bruce, we need you." Those four words stayed with him. For nearly 20 years, Bruce Springsteen had grabbed a microphone and, as he once put it, judged the distance between the American reality and the American dream. And now, at a moment where that distance was coming under the harshest spotlight of a reality we had long tried to deny, and in the years since we have tried desperately to drown out with fear and force, the boss knew what was being asked of him. And it wasn't to write an anthem of empty patriotism. What it was to help we, the people, use music to help us make sense of our mourning. And so Springsteen wrote The Rising. Now, The Rising is written from the perspective of a New York City firefighter climbing one of the towers that September morning. He cannot see through the smoke. He's carrying tanks and hoses, equipment almost too heavy to bear. "I can't feel nothing but this chain that binds me," he sings. And yet, as he climbs into the darkness, knowing he might never return, what propels each step up, each step forward, is knowing that someone he has never met, someone he may in fact never get to, is reaching out their hand in search of his, wanting a chance at life, or at least not to die alone. "I can't feel nothing but this chain that binds me," Bruce sings, giving voice to what our hearts still sing far too often, nearly 25 years later. "I can't feel nothing but this chain that binds me." About 40 miles north of where Bruce and that driver had that brief encounter, the Statue of Liberty stood looking over the smoking mausoleum that used to be the World Trade Center. And when she first heard the boss sing those words, "I have to believe," she smiled and nodded knowingly. You see, Lady Liberty was no stranger to chains. If you don't know that they are there, you've probably missed them. My whole life, I missed them too until yesterday. You see, they're hidden. They're hidden in the folds of sheets of copper robe. They're hidden 300 feet above where visitors tread to pay homage and take selfies. They are hidden by the glare of the torch, the crown, the tablet, and even the poem attached to the base. They are the chains, the broken chains at the feet of the Statue of Liberty. Now, I never knew the chains were there until yesterday when I read a piece by my friend, the Reverend Tracy Blackman. And yet, as Tracy writes, they are there, cast in iron, broken beneath her feet. And so I thought, I have to know more. And here's what I learned. The Statue of Liberty was born in the imagination of Edward René de La Bouillé, one of Europe's leading experts on the U.S. Constitution. Having lived through the authoritarian regime of Napoleon III, he admired the separation of powers, the freedom of speech, and representative democracy that the United States embodied. At the same time, Le Bouillé, a strong abolitionist, believed that we had contradicted our own founding ideals through slavery. At the end of the Civil War, between Congress approving the 13th Amendment, which abolished slavery in most cases, and its ratification by the states, Le Boyer was at a dinner in France where he first proposed creating a monument to celebrate what he thought was about to be the fullness of American liberty. And at that dinner was a sculptor named Frédéric Auguste Bartholdi. And together, they conceived of a monument that was not merely a celebration of independence, but a celebration of liberty made more complete through emancipation. Now, at first, the broken chains were a primary feature. The initial drawings had Lady Liberty holding them in her left hand, centering that image of abolition and emancipation. And then they had to circulate the design among potential donors and people tasked with fundraising. Now, a statue celebrating liberty and independence, they could support that, especially because France had played such a key role in the American Revolution. But a statue celebrating the abolition of slavery, well, that was too divisive. It might upset potential donors and pro-slavery Americans still stinging from defeat. Seems some kinds of freedom just weren't ready for prime time. And so in a tale as old as time, donors' discomfort won the day, and the chains were moved to Lady Liberty's feet. But then Bartholdi, noting the impact of those too afraid to proclaim emancipation and liberty for all too boldly, made a subtle artistic choice. While Lady Liberty's right foot has stepped over the broken chains, the left foot remains behind the shackles. Heel up, prepared to make the step forward, but still not ready to make the full commitment. See, liberty is a work in progress, not an accomplished feat. And as we gather 250 years since the signing of the Declaration of Independence, the song remains the same. Bartholdi's message was subtle but clear. It is not enough to break the chains. We have to step out of them. For 160 years since the ratification of that amendment, we have been waiting for the courage to take that final step. For 160 years, our fear of the financial consequences of true equality in a land whose economy was founded on and has never fully transitioned out of dependence on free labor tortured out of black bodies has kept that foot where it is. Sometimes it's fallen back. Sometimes it raises up, poised to leave the ground. For 160 years, we have been waiting for the fulfillment of that initial proclamation of emancipation. For 160 years, we have been wondering where that foot might land if we do. And for a lot longer than that, in this morning's gospel, Jesus has been bidding us to take that step and letting us know what it can look like if we do. 160 years is a long time to be stuck in place. And being stuck is nothing new. Jesus preached about it nearly 2,000 years ago. Jesus said to the crowd, "To what will I compare this generation? It is like children sitting in the marketplace and calling to one another. We played the flute for you and you did not dance. We wailed and you would not mourn." To what will I compare this generation, Jesus says to us. It's like middle schoolers at their first dance, clinging to the walls, longing to find a partner to move to the music, but unable to conquer the chorus of classmate ridicule they imagine might follow, even though they are all secretly wishing to do the same thing. To what will I compare this generation, Jesus says to us. It's like a freshman sitting by themselves in the cafeteria, devastated by loneliness and trying hard not to let it show as their classmates walk by and silently feel bad for them, but are afraid if they sit down, they will be ostracized too. These scenarios play out in different ways throughout our lives. It is the human struggle between desire and fear. Our most profoundly meaningful experiences of humanity are those moments where we truly celebrate and mourn together. When the deep desires to dance and grieve bind us to each other. And yet, one of the starkest ironies of life in our culture is that we keep ourselves from those deepest, those most emancipating desires because we are unable to break the shackles of our fear. The fear of what others might think, the fear of how others might react. The fear of what we might lose too often is greater than the hope of what we might become. We played the flute for you and you did not dance. We wailed and you did not mourn. It is not because our hearts didn't want to. It's because we were afraid. It's because we are afraid. Our hearts long to not just hear, but to sing like Song of Solomon, "Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. For now the winter is past, the rain is over and gone, the flowers appear on the earth, the time of singing has come, and the voice of the turtle dove is heard in our land. The fig tree puts forth its figs, and the vines are in blossom, they give forth fragrance. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away." For nearly 3,000 years, those words have echoed in our ears and on our hearts, a song of God's longing for us, a song of our longing for each other, because there is a song deep inside us, no matter how intricately we forge the chains on ourselves and each other. There is a song deep inside us, no matter how tall the walls we build to separate ourselves from each other. There is a song deep inside us, a song that refuses to be silenced, no matter how loudly our fear tries to drown it out. Be with me. Dance with me. Cry with me. Come on up. Lay your hands in mine. Be greater than my fear, and I will try to be greater than yours. Cross onto my side of the gymnasium. Lay your hands in mine and whisper in my ear, arise, my love, and come away. Jesus says, come to me. Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. It is not enough to break the chains. We have to step out of them. And yet it is not enough even to step out of the chains. Against all logic that comes from our deep experiences of the trauma of enslaving and being enslaved, our true emancipation comes not only when we break the chains, not only when we step over the chains, but when we put our hands in each other's and together we rise. It is not enough even to step out of the shackles of slavery, but against all logic and in the face of all that fear tells us, to allow ourselves to be bound again. But this time, not in slavery, but in dancing and in mourning and in everything that makes us most human when we do it together. Doesn't that make your tired heart yearn even a little bit? Yeah, tired. Are you tired? I'm tired. And I wonder if you might be too. Because I tell you, everywhere I go, I see it in people's eyes. And when I look in the mirror, I see it in my own. We are so tired. We are so tired of being afraid. We are so tired from being afraid. So tired from gazing across that dance floor, from sitting alone, and from being afraid to be the first person to take that empty seat at the nearly empty table. 250 years after declaring our independence and 160 years after the best emancipation we have been able to muster, we still have not stepped out of those chains, and we are so tired sometimes, we feel whether we do or don't, we might just collapse anyway. And Jesus looks on us with compassion and repeats the words this morning that he has been saying for thousands of years, arise, my love, and come away. Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The image of a yoke is powerful. It is not the chains that shackle enslaved people from the Middle Passage to the Trail of Tears, to the buses leading from the ICE detention centers to deportation flights. It is not the chains that keep us separated from each other in increasingly segregated neighborhoods, choosing our news and our facts and whispering lies about the others that stoke our fears. Any farmer listening to Jesus would have known a yoke is an instrument of weight distribution. A yoke does not imprison, it binds us together so our burdens are equally borne. A yoke does not measure one person full and another person at 3/5 of a human being, but enforces true justice and equity. A yoke says, no matter what burden you are carrying or I am carrying, we refuse to let anyone carry it alone. A yoke says, if you want to cry, I will hold you and weep with you. A yoke says, if you want to dance, I will join you on that gymnasium floor. A yoke says, I will lift you as I climb, and you will catch me when I fall. Jesus says, I know you're tired. I'm tired too. And here's the good news. Arise, my love, and come away. We don't have to keep fighting. We don't have to keep fearing. We don't have to keep building walls and passing legislation declaring who's in and who's out. We don't have to keep maximizing profits for the few by denying the humanity of the many. It doesn't have to be this way. For after 160 years, after 250 years, after 2,000, 3,000 years and more, the song remains the same. Arise, my love, and come away. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Arise. It doesn't take much. It doesn't need to start with a revolution or a grand proclamation. We don't need to build a magnificent statue or write a heart-stopping song. All it takes is a tentative step onto the dance floor or filling up that second space at the lunch table. Arise, step out of the chains and into each other's arms. Arise, even if we can't see nothing in front of us and can't see nothing coming up behind. Arise. Make our way through the darkness, even if we can't feel nothing but the chain that binds us, even if we've lost track of how far we've gone, how high we've climbed. Arise. Because somewhere up there, there is an outstretched hand wanting to live, or at least not wanting to die alone. Arise, because our hearts are hungry and our hands are lonely. Arise, because we are ready to dance and we have cried our tears in solitude for way too long. Arise, because this life God gives us is too hard to do by ourselves and too wonderful to keep to ourselves. Arise, because in the garden of a thousand sighs, the children are dancing in a sky filled with light. May I feel your arms around me. May I feel your blood mix with mine. Jesus sings, arise. A dream of life comes to me like a catfish dancing on the end of the line. Sky of blackness and sorrow, sky of love, sky of tears. Sky of glory and sadness, sky of mercy, sky of fear, sky of memory and shadow. Your burning wind fills my arms tonight. Sky of longing and emptiness, sky of fullness, sky of blessed life. Arise, my love, and come away. Come to me, all you that are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. And you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Come on up for the rising. Come on up, lay your hands in mine. Come on up for the rising. Come on up for the rising tonight. Amen.
Please stand as you are able and join me as we affirm our faith using the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made, for us and for our salvation, and came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, words from the Father, who with the Father and the Son is worshiped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Let us pray.
Almighty God, giver of all good things, we thank you for the natural majesty and beauty of this land. They restore us, though we often destroy them. Lord, in your mercy,
heal us.
We thank you for the great resources of this nation. They make us rich, though we often exploit them. Lord, in your mercy,
forgive us.
We thank you for the men and women who have made this country strong. They are models for us, though we often fall short of them. Lord, in your mercy,
inspire us.
We thank you for the torch of liberty, which has been lit in this land. It has drawn people from every nation, though we have often hidden from its light. Lord, in your mercy, enlighten us. We thank you for the faith we have inherited in all its rich variety. It sustains our life, though we have been faithless again and again. Lord, in your mercy, renew us. We pray for those we love but see no longer, and for all who are injured, lonely, or suffering, and all who care for them, especially those on our parish prayer list. Please take a moment to add your own petitions of intercession or thanksgiving. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
Help us, O Lord, to finish and perfect the good work here begun. Strengthen our efforts to blot out ignorance and prejudice, to abolish poverty, crime, and injustice, and to protect and strengthen our democratic principles. And in your mercy, hasten the day when all your people, with many voices in one united chorus, will glorify you forever.
Amen. Let us confess our sins to God.
God of all mercy, we confess that we have sinned against you, opposing your will in our lives. We have denied your goodness in each other, in ourselves, and in the world you have created. We repent of the evil that enslaves us, the evil we have done, and the evil done on our behalf. Forgive, restore, and strengthen us through our Savior Jesus Christ, that we may abide in your love and serve only your will. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy on you, forgive you all your sins through the grace of Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life.
Amen.
The peace of Christ be always with you.
And also with you.
You may be seated for the announcements. Maria is going to give us some updates and announcements. While she's doing that, I will also ask the ushers to come forward so that if you have our little goodie bags, you can be looking for new people who might need a goodie bag. But Maria, go for it.
Thank you. Yes, good morning. Well, as you probably saw in the email blast, and as you have in your yellow sheet, we have a lot of things happening in the coming weeks. And so I would like to highlight a few today for you. First of all, as you know, we welcome back, actually, Reverend Mike Kinman. And after the wonderful sermon, he is actually going to be leading a conversation in the parish hall after this service about how women around the world are creating a love economy. So we invite you to grab your coffee, snacks, and join him for that conversation. We have several formation and fellowship events coming up. July 9th and 16th, there is a flyer that you probably saw about yoga in the Redwoods. There's more information on that. Next Sunday, July 12th, there's going to be a Bible study after the 10 o'clock service. Diane Bamforth will once again share her wonderful storytelling gift by telling us a story on the parable of the mustard seed, and that will be held in room 6-7, and we'll remind you of that next Sunday. Also on July 12th, on that evening at 6:30, we do have a Teze service. Teze focuses on praying through song and silent. It was wonderful before, and I'm sure it will be wonderful again. And then on July 18th, our new curate, Maggie Rutherford, will be ordained at Trinity Cathedral, will be ordained to the Transitional Diaconate, and that will be at 11 o'clock. And we'd love for all of us to be there to really welcome her into her as a deacon. And then she will join us here for service on July 26th. So, and we'll have a little party after that to celebrate her ordination, but of course to also welcome her to St. Martin's, which we hope will be for about 3 years. So you'll most welcome. And one more thing, on July 11th, the Owls, the older, wiser laity, is going to have a tea here from 2 to 4 o'clock. And we'd love for anyone interested in just a social to join us. Please let the office know if you will be able to attend. And one more thing before I forget, we do need one more alternate for the diocesan convention, which will be held on Zoom. If you are interested in learning more about St. Martin's, about the diocese, please speak to Reverend Pamela, and she can tell you more about it, or even I can tell you more about it if she's not available. But basically, you attend two events. One is the morning convocation, which is going to be on September 19th, and the other is the diocesan convention, which will be in October, and that's just like a one day out of your time, and there's a lot of things to learn about what's happening. So thank you for that. And last but not least, the office will be closed tomorrow. The church office will be closed tomorrow so that our staff can actually celebrate the holiday. So thank you.
Thank you so much, Maria. I see Tim up here with blue bags. If you are new or visiting, let us know, raise your hand. We don't embarrass you too much, we hope, but there's one up here. We have a magazine and some information and of course chocolate. So everybody who has not received one should really, really let us know. Thank you again to Maria for all of those. You can tell there's a lot going on, even though we're combining the service on Sunday morning at 10 and not having our 8 o'clock service. We still have lots of options. We will talk more next week about Pizza Church and what we'll be doing with that, so stay tuned. And I don't think, did we have any celebrations or milestones? Nobody sent in any celebrations or milestones. Does anyone here have something they would like to share? Diane? Okay. We will definitely celebrate Joan Jordan's birthday. Maria?
Tim's birthday on Wednesday.
Oh, good. Some more July birthdays coming up. Great. Anything else? I'm looking. Oh, wait, someone's pointing. Oh, yes, sorry. Your 48th wedding anniversary. Wow, that is definitely a milestone. Well, wonderful. So if you turn to page 6 in your bulletin, we say this prayer together. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand. Comfort them when discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall. And in their hearts may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Once again, I want to remind you about the adult forum we're having after this service in the parish hall. I know a little bit about Thistle Farms. I've known about them for many years, and I know some of you have encountered their work before, but Mike is really involved in this global work that they're doing, and I was thinking during his sermon when he was talking about those chains. These are women who are really, they have broken those chains, and they are also creating great bonds of love. So there's a lot for us to learn from that, and it'll just be fun to be together. Our communion today will be around the altar rails. You come forward, and the ushers will let you know when it's time to find your spot, and you can stand or kneel. We have gluten-free, vegan bread that we make so that everyone can partake, we hope, in that. Everyone is welcome to receive. There are some instructions in here about once the bread is placed in your hand, you can consume it right away and then receive from the chalice, or you can wait and have the Eucharistic minister intinct it for you. Either way is okay. You can also cross your arms, indicating you'd like a prayer or a blessing. And of course, we can bring communion to you if you need that. Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and sacrifice to God.
Come, ye sinners, to our land.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
We praise you and we bless you, holy and gracious God, source of life abundant. From before time, you made ready the creation. Your Spirit moved over the deep and brought all things into being, sun, moon, and stars, earth, winds, and waters, and every living thing. You made us in your image and taught us to walk in your ways. But we rebelled against you and wandered far away. And yet, as a mother cares for her children, you would not forget us. Time and again, you called us to live in the fullness of your love. And so this day, we join with saints and angels in the chorus of praise that rings through eternity, lifting our voices to magnify you as we sing. And praise to you, holy and living God. To deliver us from the power of sin and death, and to reveal the riches of your grace, you looked with favor upon Mary, your willing servant, that she might conceive and bear a son, Jesus, the Holy Child of God. Living among us, Jesus loved us. He broke bread with outcasts and sinners, healed the sick, and proclaimed good news to the poor. He yearned to draw all the world to himself, and yet we were heedless of his call to walk in love. Then the time came for him to complete upon the cross the sacrifice of his life and to be glorified by you. On the night before he died for us, Jesus was at table with his friends. He took bread, gave thanks to you, broke it, and gave it to them, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." As supper was ending, Jesus took the cup of wine. Again, he gave thanks to you, gave it to them, and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you and for all for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Now gathered at your table, O God of all creation, and remembering Christ crucified and risen, who was and is to come, we offer to you our gifts of bread and wine and ourselves, a living sacrifice. Pour out your Spirit upon these gifts, that they may be the body and blood of Christ. Breathe your Spirit over the whole earth and make us your new creation, the body of Christ given for the world you have made. In the fullness of time, bring us with Blessed Martin and all your saints, from every tribe and language and people and nation, to feast at the banquet prepared from the foundation of the world. Through Christ and with Christ and in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, to you be honor, glory, and praise forever and ever. And now, first in Spanish and then in English, we pray as our Savior Christ has taught us. Padre nuestro, que estás en el cielo, santificado sea tu nombre. Venga tu reino, hágase tu voluntad, en la tierra como en el cielo. Danos hoy nuestro pan de cada día. Perdona nuestras ofensas, como también nosotros perdonamos a los que nos ofenden. No nos dejes caer en tentación y líbranos del mal. Porque tuyo es el reino, tuyo es el poder y tuya es la gloria, ahora y por siempre. Amen. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever.
Amen.
Alleluia! Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us.
Therefore, let us keep the feast. Alleluia.
The gifts of God for the people of God.
Thank you.
Please rise for our Eucharistic visitor sending prayer.
Joni and Diane, we send you forth bearing these holy gifts that those whom you visit will share in Christ's body and blood. We who are many are one body because we all share one bread, one cup. Amen. Our prayers go with you.
Let us pray. God of abundance, you have fed us with the bread of life and cup of salvation. You have united us with Christ and one another, and you have made us one with all your people in heaven and on earth. Now send us forth in the power of your Spirit, that we may proclaim your redeeming love to the world, and continue forever in the risen life of Christ our Savior. Amen. Neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. God the Creator, Jesus the Christ, and the Holy Spirit, the Comforter and Advocate, bless you and keep you in eternal love.
Amen.
Thank you.
Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.